Sure, Mr. Mayor. So this is our weekly requirement for the grant to report to the governing body the operational activities, how much water we pump and whatnot, and then also the financial information. So it's information to council as required by the grant.
Thank you, Mr. Carrazza. Just for the listening public, this could be found on our City of Bethel website under the council's packet for tonight's meeting.
So, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Springer?
Yeah, I just wonder if the manager would care to characterize for the council and for the listening public the financial status of our water and sewer services and any discussions that have been had. This is prepared and presented as a RUBA requirement, Rural Utility Business Advisory Requirement. Is that correct?
Mr. Springer, hold on. Sure. I think I made a boo-boo. Do I need to introduce this in a motion? I do, don't I?
No, this is just an item. No,
okay, got it. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So it's presented to RUBA as a component of our qualification for receiving continuing funding from the Village Safe Water Program, correct?
Yes, Councilman Springer, and for any financial information, we have acting finance director John Sarban here, and for any operational for the utilities, we have Director Bill Arnold here to provide more of an expert answer to you, if you would like their presence.
Well, what's your overview of it from reserving operations and observing the finances? Have any issues come to light to you that you may find yourself bringing to the attention of the council in the near future?
No, Councilor Springer, in my city manager report, I did report to you that our utilities billing is a little bit of a mess. The consultant has discovered through her audits, she's been here two times for a two-week cycle. As she's looking through our finances, we're discovering that a lot of our utility billings are delinquent. Over $600,000 that have been not paid to the city. And on the commercial side, there's way back since whenever we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars that were missed in terms of revenues, meters broken, and the automatic system sends out ridiculously low numbers, and we just didn't have anybody catching these billings. So there are a lot of operational issues with billing that we missed out on.
Mr.
Springer.
One more question on that. You said that the consultant, that's the accounting firm that we have. That the consulting firm discovered, for example, that we have about $600 in arrearages in mostly residential accounts. That wasn't evident to anybody in the finance staff or yourself that are reviewing these. I mean, we've known that people have had trouble since March paying their bills, and we've known that the council has said don't disconnect anybody. So this was there was a certain amount of inevitability to this, but you're saying that you hadn't heard about this, and the finance department hadn't heard about this until our consulting accountant discovered it. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, Councilor Springer. Turnover, me being new on the job, John Sargent being acting finance director, I'm new on the job, and some of the accounting specialists also were new on the job.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Any other comments or questions for City Manager Krasick or just in general? Hearing none, since this is a informational memorandum, we're going to move on to item 10.7, which is the information memorandum 20-10, information topic, City of Bethel Organizational Retreat Priorities, which was pulled from the consent agenda. And this is offered by council member DeWitt. Michelle, would you like to speak on this?
Sure. I just wanted a chance for council to maybe provide some feedback on this document, which is page 60 of our packets, and maybe give an opportunity to hear from our city clerk who put this together for our review based on our June meeting. So everybody could take a moment and maybe turn to that page. I think this is a work in progress, but we didn't want too much time to lapse before we had an opportunity to go back to this and reflect on some of those conversations we had in June. So, Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you want to turn and have our city clerk weigh in on this, talk us through it, or what you'd like to do next for discussion.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. I'll defer to our city clerk if she is willing.
I am willing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is an attempt to kind of categorize and outline the start of an action plan for the council and administrative retreat priorities. They're broken out into organizational goals through operational short-term, operational long-term, and then capital improvements. And just for the public, a couple of months ago, we had the department heads and the city council come together to include the attorney in my office, come together and identify a number of priorities, operational priorities and capital improvement priorities for the community, as well as community priorities. There are some economic development ideas that were thrown out there and included as well. And our steps, our processes now are to break those out into individual action plans and identify what steps we need to take as an organization and as a council to accomplish the goals that were outlined. It's not a super long document. There's four pages here. It's available on the city's website, but these were just my individual ideas, and you know, this is a collective and fluid document, so the more collaboration we can have in addressing the necessary steps to reach our goals, I think, is important. And it's likely the council will have some follow-up retreat after we get some more feedback from the council members and administration on what these actions might need to be taken to reach the goal. So.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion?
I guess I'd like to maybe discuss what might be helpful. Something like sounds super loud. What might be helpful to for council members, like what you need from council members, or what we as council members need to do from this point forward, or what you know we might need to get back from, say, city administration, or what next steps might look like to continue to sort of workshop the document from our discussions in June.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Ms. Strickler.
Well, I think that the brainstorming of next steps really needs to be a little bit more collaborative than just from my office. And I think that it might be a good idea for us to, you know, within the next couple of weeks, have another special meeting with the City Council and work through financial requirements with administration to meet some of these goals, to also outline the timeline for some of these goals. Some of these can be developed and accomplished with just a few months. And as the document indicates, there's many of them that are already in progress, so they don't have financial costs associated with them. But I think that, I think some of the hurdles might be that feel like I'm saying a lot, but I feel like we probably should have some solid numbers identified for a lot of this, and I think that might be a difficult hurdle to overcome with the current finance situation. Some of this can be, like I said, accomplished without financial impact, but I think something from administration breaking down what goals fall within their departments, the financial costs associated with that, and the timeline might be an important next step for the council's evaluation of the priorities.
Okay, so it sounds like a potential additional special meeting is in our future. Further discussion. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stricker. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. And
I have a quick question.
Yes, Ms. Hansen. Right.
I haven't done this move before, but I'm wondering if I can do it now. Ooh, everyone's like holding their breath. So on this page 3 of this, it's in the operational long term. If you go down to the decreased public nuisance properties and junk vehicles, one of the actions is to refer to Planning Commission that they rank nuisance properties and determine corrective actions. Is that something that can be referred to the Planning Commission right now? Or is there some kind of process for that to get that on their radar, that that's a goal we want to accomplish?
I think that let me prepare an action memorandum outlining the details and the actual goal, and then we can prepare that for the council.
Okay.
Because we weren't expecting action on this item right now, so just for formality purposes, let me prepare something for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments? If not, we are moving on to item 10.8. Personal leave PTO request, city manager, August 24th to September 11th, 2020. This was put forth by city manager Peraza, and that passed on the consent agenda. And we'll move on to item number 11, which is item 11.1, mayor's report. I have nothing that I would like to report on. And we'll move on to item 11.2, which is the city manager's report. And Mr. Carranza, if you would just like to maybe hit on some of the highlights of your report, not the entire thing, but just some things that you would like to maybe shed a little light on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in the monthly report that I submitted, a couple of great things is in our finances, we were at 100% of the fiscal year, which means our finances tracking at the end of June 30th. There is still that 13th month that we're still having to wrap up, close out the books. But with that, a lot of the general fund categories, the departments underspent their budget, roughly 80 to 90%. Finance department was the only department that hit 100%. I think it's because they had a lot of turnover, but then they used a lot of consultants to spend that money to meet 100%. The enterprise funds are hitting around 75% of their expenditures. In terms of operations, I think we mentioned it before, the property maintenance groups is working on the handicap ramp at the Public Works building. Right now there is a one-stop shop utility office that we started at the Public Works office. So you'll have utility billing plus operations in the same building in the same area. So if you have something where you come pay your utility bill, you can say, hey, I want to change my water service from 3 to 2 a week or whatnot. So there's more coordination between the financial side plus the operational side. And now we'll have a ADA accessible entrance to the building. So they're working on that. We have and the port office on page 4 started their landscaping or weed cutting, weeding, vegetation, brush hogging on the seawall, and it's kind of opened up the trail there, so the general public can use that in more of a safe, transparent manner. And there is some work from the report from the planning department that ADOT is working on the Thunder Ridge / BIA road that will eventually connect with the loop. So they're progressing with work on that. And that's pretty much a summary of that. I also wanted to add that to give an update for the Bethel Business Recovery Grant program that was discussed earlier in 10.5. The application period for that closed yesterday at 5 o'clock, and the program received 75 applications from businesses, totaling over $1.1 million in requests. So not every business that submitted was eligible, but we expect that the final amount awarded will approach $1 million as we had allocated for the program. That's where Councilor Springer volunteered to do. Tomorrow night, the committee will meet. I think there's two city employees, one council member, one BSF advisory or representative, and then one citizen to be on that board to sort of ratify the 75 applications. Once that's ratified, the EOC will just write out 75 checks, hopefully up to $1 million. Now, so that was a extremely fast turnaround to, from the $1 million July appropriation up to August 12th. So that was really a fast turnaround. Kudos to BSCSF for putting together City Council for passing the CARES Act and our finance department. So we really did a lot of teamwork to get this out and about in the community, pushing the city's $4.2 million of our first disbursement. So once we spend all of our first disbursement up to 80%, we can hit up the state for the second disbursement of $2.1 million, and then if we spend 80% of that, we get a third disbursement. So there's a little bit of a incentive for us to spend a portion of our disbursements to get the second, to get the third. And eventually, we'd like to spend all of our $8.4 million.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Can we turn it back to you, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. Any questions for the city manager, Mr. Springer?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The office over at Public Works, what grade of finance employee staffs that?
Councilor Springer, the county specialist one who specializes in utility billing staffs that office.
Okay. And sort of the question is do they use the same time clock as the other public works employees, or how do they punch in and out over there?
Yes, Councilor Springer, they use their public works time clock.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Mr. Carrazza, any other questions for our city manager? Ms. Franco or Mr. Diamond? Thank you. Anybody else? If not, thank you, Mr. Carrazza. And we're going to move on to our 11.3, which is the clerk's report. Ms. Strickler?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the public, I want to make sure that everyone knows that the candidacy filing period for City Council closes August 20 at 4 p.m. The city is also supporting the state of Alaska in their absentee voting opportunities. They were unable to find an absentee voting official. We will be providing support to them. We received the ballots today, so we'll be open from 10 to 2, and the location will be at the courthouse, the side building nearest to KYUK. We will get a map up on the social media page as well. But again, absentee voting in person is available between 10 and 2, Monday through Friday, through August 17th. The state's primary election will be on the 18th, And the precinct locations are going to be the LKSD District Office and the Cultural Center. Moving on to the city's election, we've got a safe election plan in place, which will ask for all of the voters to put gloves on when they come, and make sure you're wearing a mask, because the facilities that are hosting our precincts require masks. And then we'll be hiring a couple of extra precinct workers, poll workers, for the day of the election, to help make sure there's good crowd control and spacing available at the election. I would encourage the voters out there, if you're not sure what precinct you're voting at, check with the state of Alaska in advance of election day. I'm trying to find a map right now from the state to identify the precinct line, but we do have a number of question ballots that are issued on election day, which can be a bit time consuming and frustrating for the voter. So make sure you're going to the right precinct. And that's all that I have actually for the public, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Any questions for our city clerk? Thank you, Ms. Strickler. And we're going to move on to item 12, which is the council member comments. One thing for me. On July 28th, we passed a resolution 20-10, which strongly recommended that all members of the public wear masks within this community, do the social distancing, and wash your hands, and of course, you know, use some of that hand sanitizer to really flatten the curve, as quote unquote everybody has been talking about. One of the things that we also did was we made it a mandate that all city properties, all employees wear masks. And I'm of the understanding that that is not necessarily happening. So I would like to remind, I guess, our city and our city employees that it is a mandate by the council. And we need to do our part as an organization, as leaders within this community, to really show that we are serious about flattening the curve. I don't know how more strongly I can state that, but please be mindful of that. I think that with the numbers of COVID cases that are increasing across the state, we had a couple days last week where we were in the hundreds of new cases. Over 100 one day, over 100 the second day. Now we're back down to 60s and 40s and 50s. That's still a dang lot of numbers. And luckily for us in this particular area of Alaska, our numbers haven't really been that high. I think we're doing a lot to lessen the numbers and exposure in this area by wearing masks, by disinfecting, social distancing, and just being very careful. I'd hate to lose a number of our elders that have pre-existing conditions. You know, I'd hate for, even for myself, if I carried the virus and wasn't being overly cautious around elders, that I find out that I infected an elder or another person and they succumb to this virus, I'd feel like crap. I really would feel like crap. So I think it's important that we do that, that we really protect ourselves and we protect our other people and we protect our community. So thanks for that. Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Bart. I just want to reiterate what Susan Taylor was saying about the importance of the census. And man, 33% for Buffalo. Okay, better than that. So I just encourage people to please call in. I'm going to give you a couple seconds to grab a pen because I'll give you the phone number. 1-844-330-2020. Now, for those of you who are not really phone people,
maybe you want to do it on your computer instead. So the web address is my2020census.gov. So please, please go fill that out. Helps bring in funding to our community. And I know that there are a lot of people who benefit from that. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. We'll move on down to Council Member Leary.
I guess just one thing I want to say tonight in regards to masking. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding that people think they're wearing a mask to protect themselves, and that is not what cloth masks are for, or surgical masks. Therefore, it's to be a source control, right? So think of our mouths and noses as a tailpipe out of your car, right? We're letting germs come out of our mouth and nose, and this is a way to cover it, so you're protecting those around you within the 6 feet, right, from your potential germs and viruses and, you know, whatever else we could have. So I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that, as despite all of the media coverage about how who we wear masks for, right? It's not for me. It is for you that we all wear masks. Because there's just a lot of misunderstanding about that. That, you know, how can someone that's been wearing a mask catch COVID? That means it's not working. That is incorrect. In fact, by wearing the mask, they probably picked up a lower dose of COVID, right? A lower dose of virus, and maybe aren't having as severe of an illness. So it still can help you a little bit on the, you know, protecting yourself aspect, but really it's about protecting those around you. And as Perry said, you know, I've thought about it a lot, in that, you know, I try not to go into my neighbor's house anymore. She's, you know, a little elderly and has some health issues, and I could not live with myself if I was asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic and carried this virus with me into her house and got her ill. I could not live with myself. I think if I caught it, and I probably, you know, whatever, we all might at some point, I'm not super worried about myself. I'm worried about those around me. So that's really what it's all about. I'm really proud of Bethel. I think the anti-maskers and the people who don't believe this is real are really far few between out here. I think for the most part, everyone's doing awesome. And it's not just our, you know, our physical isolation from the rest of the world out here. I think it's a lot of people really caring and doing the right thing for their neighbors. I know a lot of people have canceled trips this year. You know, even though there's still some people are still going out into the world, and, you know, I'm not. I won't even go to Anchorage at this point. So because, you know, I'm calling people almost every day as close contacts who are on the jet. Because we follow CDC guidance on that, and if you're within two rows, front or behind, or in the same row, of someone on the jet who tested positive and traveled during their infectious period, guess what? You're a close contact. So even just, you know, doing all the right things, even traveling, I mean, it's just the essence of, you know, we can only travel on the jet, unlike stone, you know, if you live just about anywhere, even in Anchorage, you'll drive through Canada, right, and get out somehow, but just that's just the way it is. With the wind, it's our restrictions on how we can move around. So just keep that stuff in mind. You know, make smart choices about where you go and who you're around, big gatherings, and, you know, we're going to see a spike in cases out here. It's happening right now. So just everyone, just keep up doing the right stuff. Keep protecting each other.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. I guess to just further a little bit of what you talked about, is maybe you can remind people about where they can get tested, what day, what time,
sure,
et cetera.
Yeah, I just got a clarification on this today. So Wednesdays, the testing tent at the new YK, or I don't know what to call it anymore, the new old YK, the admin building, community health services building, where, you know, the offices are, across from the hospital, parking lot. Noon to 4 on Wednesdays is open to anybody. You don't need a referral, you don't need nothing. Show up, there might be a long line, But noon to four, you know, at some point in there, anyone should be able to step away from their day. And then you can always call the COVID hotline. Man, put me on the spot here.
Sorry.
The number is on the outside. I think it's 543-6949. I should have that memorized, but I have it on a little post-it on my desk, and it's outside the window. But you know, if you have any symptoms, if you have any concerns, we try to you know, recommend that anyone that's in close contact go and get tested, so we can link if there are cases, subsequent cases from that are linked. But you know, if you're feeling ill, if you've been traveling, get tested. It's just, and like, I think, did you say it earlier, that even if you, Susan, someone said earlier, even if you test negative, it's still really recommended to quarantine for 14 days, because that's how long it can take for it, the virus to incubate in your body. It can take that long to show symptoms or to test positive. And so during that time period, you know, people that come back here and just keep going about their business because they think they tested negative, you don't know. It's just, you can't say for certain that you don't have the virus. And it's great that so many people don't have symptoms, or that it takes a little while. Maybe we only have, you know, a lot of people only have mild symptoms. That's great. I mean, really. But it makes it tougher to convince sometimes when it's not such a serious outcome for everyone. But, I mean, I can't think of anyone that, of, you know, what is the... The death rates with COVID are, what, 1-2% or a little higher than I think it, the last I saw, 2.3 or 2.5% or something. But I don't know of two people out of 100 that I, you know, that I'm willing to, anyways.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Sorry to put you on the spot.
That's okay.
We'll hear next from Council Member Franco. Cece, you're up.
Thank you, Perry. Pretty much just a repeat of what other council members already said, but it's really important that we do our best to improve our rates of response for the census, as we all have heard a few times already how important it is to count is as far as, you know, Bethel and the Wiley Delta receiving federal funds, you know, for the next 10 years. That's huge. It's kind of shocking to see that number, that we're somewhere around 33% right now, as a rate of participation of people answering and responding to the questionnaire. So I definitely encourage everyone. I know, you know, it does require a little bit of work, especially since things have changed from how things normally are due to COVID. So you either have to call the number, which has already been provided, I'm not going to say it again because I did not write it down, or you can go online. And I know I've personally received a few things in the mail giving information on how to fill out the census, and I also received some, at least one item on my doorstep. So I definitely encourage everyone to go and fill that out. You know, it might be hard, you know, to kind of push off, but you know, there is really a time frame, and we're coming towards the end of this. And it's really important that we get those numbers up. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. We'll move on over to Council Member Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So on masks for a minute to our friends from the villages who come to